So, praise Jesus. Just to thank God for what God has been doing and speaking to us since we started this series of teachings. And part of the teachings that, that we focused our teaching on the revelation of God. And we have been saying God has revealed himself through his Son, Jesus Christ. And our core reading, where we draw all our lessons, that's from Hebrews chapter 1. From verse 1 to 3, and where it says that God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in this last day spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, and by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And what we've been seeing is that there are two times that we are looking at. There is the time of the past times, and then there's the time of the last days. So these are two times that we see that there is something that happened in the past, and this, we have said, this is the time before Jesus resurrected from the grave. So everything that happened from the Old Testament to the time, Jesus was teaching in parables, and until the time he was lifted up, he died, and then he resurrected, all that is referred to as past times. But then anything that happens after his resurrection, we have referred that as the last days. And this is why these are the last days that we are living in. And that's why he said, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. So that means that it was only after Jesus resurrected that there was a true understanding of who Jesus is. Peter had a small revelation. He said that you are Christ, the Son of the living God. And from there, now Jesus started explaining to them how the things that he must suffer, So it was from that revelation that it began the spring forth of the church. Now, the people that God has revealed himself to is the church, And we are the church of Jesus Christ. And so we've been looking at how God has been speaking. And one of the things that I went to look at is this word speaking. What does it mean? And I realized that the word that is used there is called laleo, L-A-L-E-O. And the speakings there means that God came to our level to speak to our level of understanding. What do I mean by that? If you see the way you interact with a baby, a six-month-old baby, and the way you interact with a teenager, and the way you interact with a grown-up is different, right? So if you find when you're with a baby, you'll speak baby language, boo, 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 because no matter what you say, the baby will just respond to that. So there's a baby language that is spoken. So the speakings, meaning it was that it was more of like God was coming to speak to his people to the place where they were, to the place of understanding they were, to the point of faith where they were operating from. And that is why you see when he comes and meets Gideon, he says, "Oh, you mighty man of valor." And Gideon is like, "No, how can you call me a mighty man of valor? I am the least, I am the least of my family. I'm the least of my brothers. I'm the last born. Our family is the least. We are not even recognized at all. But God, because he knows where this man is, his introduction and his salutation is, mighty man of valor. And you see, the beauty of God is, the speakings of God are very unique. There is a way that God will speak to his people. He will not speak in the negative. If there is something that you will learn about God, God never speaks in the negative. He will always speak in the good. And that is the same language that God wanted the Adam to know. And that is why in the Garden of Eden, Adam only knew what was good. But when he realized he was naked, God never actually wanted Adam to know he was naked. Because nakedness was not existing in the good. All that God expected of Adam to know was just good. But then when he decided to know good and evil, then another knowledge was introduced. And that's why we have been speaking that in the last days there will be increasing in knowledge. In the last days, there'll be increase in knowledge. And we've said that this knowledge is of two types. There's knowledge of good and there's knowledge of evil. That is why you can see there's so much increase in wickedness and increase in evil in this time, because there's an increase in knowledge also of evil. Likewise, there's also an increase in knowledge of good things like technology, things that are advancing the gospel. There's also an increase of knowledge of graces. There's so much teaching of the Word of God. God is helping us and bringing us to a full understanding of His purposes for man, and of His the full revelation, the full counsel of God. And that's why we are, and yesterday we were also speaking of how the elders obtained a good report, how God spoke to the fathers. God spoke to the fathers by the prophets, and we started looking at Abraham. And today we are going to look at this man, Noah. And you see, Noah existed in a time where, and I think it's picking up from where we were describing about the sons of God and the sons of men, when the sons of God came to sleep with the daughters of men. And part of our understanding, and I said that there are those who believe those are angels, but I said, and the argument of those people, always they will tell you, is the book of Enoch is their basis of understanding. They will say, they will quote extra biblical scriptures as their point of reference. Now, as we said, from hermeneutics, from our understanding of scripture, we look at the context. And if you look at the context, it can clearly point towards that these are the sons of the descendants of Seth, who are the sons of God, and who desired the sons of men, who are the sons of Cain. Because you see, first when Cain is cast out, the description is the sons of Cain, the descendants of Cain, Enoch his son, and then he built a city for him. And then we have Jubal, we have Lamech, who ends up marrying two wives, you know, and killing someone. And it continues like that. And then now we are told, now Adam had another son in his own image and likeness, who is Seth. And then we are now given the line of Seth. And now this is the line that men began to call on the name of the Lord. And we are seeing that now these are men who now encountered God, who started to know God. And now at some point now in Genesis chapter 6, what happens is now that the sons of men desired the sons of God, so that the daughters of men were beautiful. And they went and married each of them as they saw fit. Now, because of sin, what happened is that the creations went through a bondage of corruption. What does that mean? It means that creation rebelled against man when man sinned. Now, that resulted in their bodies changing, in their gene mutations, in sickness coming, in death coming. And that's why when that mixture happened between the sons of God and the sons of men, it resulted in Nephilim, in giants. Because anytime there is a mixture of the church and the world, what results is in giants. It results in creatures. It results in an abnormal breed. And that's why we are told, do not mix. You know, come out from them. Be separate. Because what God hates is lukewarm people. It's either you're hot, or you decide to be cold. But if you're lukewarm, He says, I will spit you out. So you see that there was that mixture. And then the Bible says that at that point God said, my spirit will not strive with man again, because he is mortal, and his days shall be 120. And from that day God declared, I am never going to fight with a man. If a man does not want to do my purpose, it is up to him. If a man does not want to believe me, you know, there are things God has said about you, about His word, about His promises. If you don't want to believe God, God will not strive with you. God has already given His revelation. He has completed His revelation for us. It is for us to believe Him. And remember, we said that the Old Testament, you have to think of the Old Testament as a pointing finger towards Christ. It points towards Christ. That is why everything in the past was written to teach us, so that through encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope. But then everything points towards Christ. And even that's why Jesus, when he's speaking to the disciples from the road to Emmaus, he tells them that he opens the scriptures for them, and he showed them how from Moses, from the law to the prophets, they were showing how the Christ must suffer. So everything that we read in the Old Testament, it is Christ hidden in shadows, types, and patterns. These are the three things that I was saying. You will see Christ hidden in shadows, types, and patterns. And so everything that we see in the Old Testament is a reflection of what is going to happen and what is happening in our time. And Noah, the revelation of Noah and the story of Noah is that despite all that wickedness, the Bible said that God found favor with Noah. And I pray that God will find favor with you who's listening to me today. Because out of the world, out of everything that was happening, even in our time, the same way it is now, there are those who are finding favor with God. There are those who are finding favor with God. There are those who have decided to be righteous and upright in God's sight. And this is what the Bible describes Noah, that he was upright. He was blameless and upright in God's eyes. And remember, the same way that our righteousness is in God's eyes, I don't think maybe he was 100% perfect. Because we remember he drank and then he cast his own son. Eh? But to God, he says, in God's sight, he was blameless and righteous. And when we read, I think it is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, the Bible says that, 2 verse 5, but, I can read from 4. And if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. The Bible, it also says that Noah was distressed in his soul by looking at the unrighteous deeds of people, the wickedness of people. So he's called a preacher of righteousness. And we read in Hebrews 11, I think it's verse 9, where it says that in holy fear, Noah built an ark and he condemned the world and he was saved and his family. So Noah found favor with God, then God spoke to him. Because he found favor, God spoke to him. When you find favor from God, God actually reveals his secrets. That's why the Bible tells us that the secrets of the Lord are with those who fear him. The secret of the Lord. Anyone who's made it in life, anyone who has something that he's working with God, anyone who has an insight, anyone who has a wisdom, there is a secret that has been revealed to him. That's why the Bible says the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. And so Noah got revealed that, you know what? Rain is going to come. That time, remember, that water had not come from up. The water will come from the ground and water the vegetation. But that time he's told that water comes. That water will come from the sky. And so when he starts building the ark and he starts telling people, they say he's mad. It does not make sense. But because he was warned of things not yet seen and he believed, he obeyed. He built the ark. He built the 3 decas. You can imagine it had three decas. And then the Bible says God commanded the animals to come. They came 2 by 2. They entered the ark, and then the Bible says, and you know, he built for around 120 years. You can imagine for 120 years, people are coming to watch Noah build the ark, and they ask him, what are you doing? He said, no, people repent. Water is going to come from the sky. Rain is going to come. They laugh. The guy preached. He preached, but he kept building. And that is what God expects us to be doing. Irrespective of what is happening around us, we need to keep building his kingdom. We need to keep building ourselves in the most holy faith. We need to keep focusing on the things of God. We need to keep our eyes on him and focus on the instructions that God has given us, because each of us has unique callings, unique expressions of God, unique purposes. There are things that are unique to you that God expects of you to reveal. God expects of you to do on this earth. And so Noah kept at it. And then eventually they entered the ark and God shut them. God shut them in and the rain came. 40 days, 40 nights it rained. And you see how interesting, how numbers come in. 40 days, 40 nights. How long were the Israelites in the wilderness? 40 years. How long did Jesus fast? 40 days. You see, there's a way that there are shadows and types that are hidden in the Old Testament that speak towards the Christ. They were hidden, but it was the point of deliverance. They were being delivered. And then as the water now receded, then eventually now he came out, and there's something that Noah did. Noah was a man of worship. He raised an altar unto the Lord. And as he raised an altar, God smelt the aroma of the sacrifice. God smelt the aroma of the sacrifice. That tells us that, and you know, this aroma is what is interesting, that Revelation tells us that the incense, our prayers are sent to God as incense. That means that God smells our prayers. I don't know how to put it in a better way. Our prayers go to God as incense, and he smells them. And in the same way that even when the father of Samson made an offering, God smelt the aroma. He told him, just no, make a burnt offering and I will smell the aroma. So the same way that God smelled the aroma of Noah's sacrifice, then he said, now I make a covenant with you, that I will put a rainbow in the sky, that never again will the earth be destroyed. I tell you, the covenants that you make with God, the aromas that you make with God, the decisions that we make with you, God, are able to impact nations, are able to impact generations. God is able to establish you transgenerationally. Transgenerationally. You can see the covenants of Abraham. We are reaping the benefits of the covenant of Abraham. We are also reaping the benefits of the covenant of Noah. Because through Noah, we know that the world, the whole world, will never be destroyed again by the floods. But God has said there's a day he's going to destroy it with fire. Because all the elements of this world will be destroyed. And we are given the comparison. It says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it is in the days of the Son of Man. That people will be eating, drinking, marrying, giving their daughters in marriage, and then, toop, sudden, the end will come. That world was destroyed. Same will our world come. Our world will come to an end. Everything is a type and a shadow. It is a pointer. It is showing us that is the same way. Can we be focused? Can we understand? Can we be sensitive that any time our Lord is coming back, we are waiting for him. We are waiting for him. Can we live our lives waiting for him? And so Noah established, God established a covenant. And there are so many blessings that Noah received. You were told, be fruitful and multiply. The same blessing that Adam was given, God was starting again. Be fruitful and multiply. Then he's also told again, apart from that, he's told, now you can eat meat. Do you know man was not supposed to eat meat originally? Man will only eat greens and vegetables. It was, I'll give you every plant for your food. But after the flood, now man was told, okay, now you can eat meat. But don't eat meat with blood in it. That is the first time he's told. Because, and then he's told, now I will account for blood. If anyone is killed, their blood will be responsible, because the life of the creature is in the blood. And when you understand that word, the life of the creature is in the blood, that is now where we are being pointed towards forgiveness of sins, remission of sins. Because Christ's life was in his blood that was shed. And that is why we were able to exchange and get the life. And that is why animals were being killed, because their lives was paying for the life of the person who had sinned. So now that is where you now see the origin of the blood, the issues of sacrifice. Anyway, I think I'll stop there for today, and just allow us to reflect on that and see what God is saying, because this is how we see that Noah obtained a good report. He found favor with God. He obeyed God. He was a preacher of righteousness. His soul was distressed. And apart from that, he was a worshiper. He worshipped God. And God established a covenant with him. And in the same way that we ourselves can purpose, we can purpose, you know what, that my life shall be an offering unto the Lord. I shall be a living sacrifice unto God. That goes to God as an aroma. And God has never left his children alone. Anytime we have established, we have come to him, he says that I have not called the seed of Jacob to seek me in vain. You do not seek God in vain. You do not wake up to pray in vain. There is something that God does. There is something that God remembers. There's a record in heaven. That is what is called the good report. The good report is what happens between your faith and the blessing. Between your faith and the receiving of the blessing, everything that happens here is working towards your good report. How do you behave in this period of waiting? How are you? How is the state of your heart? Are you murmuring? Are you complaining? But if you're giving thanks, you're rejoicing, you're working out a good report. Yeah, so allow me to stop there to give us at least some 12 minutes of reflection, and we thank God for His word. So you're welcome. You're welcome. And sorry, I try to pump as much because of the time, but I think it's good so that we can also reflect, look into it, and get back to it. Yeah. So anyone who's ready to reflect, you're welcome. As well. Yeah, that was a powerful reflection on the state of our hearts. And I think it's, yeah, I mean, for me, when the aspect of giving, and everything that we do is a gift to God, and He says God loves a cheerful giver. So that means God loves a cheerful prayer, a cheerful faster, a cheerful giver. So if there is willingness, it is accepted. Even ministry, God loves those who are doing ministry cheerfully. And no, that's a powerful insight. Thank you for that. Glory to God. Yeah, anyone else who wants to reflect in? Geoffrey, you want to come in? Yes, come in. Yeah, go ahead.
The is not from by faith. Even the man who is stepped on, it is by faith we believe that he's not going to sink. And the chair we sit on.
Yeah.
And so it is expected that he that comes to God must first of all believe that he exists.
Yeah.
And that you trust in him to reward those that diligently seek him. So just like Brother Tapu said, if you don't, I mean, you have to believe that God exists and he has a personality and character. And then you are expected to come to him, to seek him with the whole of your heart. And there will be a reflection of him.
Yeah.
If you seek him with the whole of your heart. So I think the summary of my understanding of the fact that whatever we do is all about having that understanding of God's existence in our relationship with him. Whatever that happens in our life is a reflection of what he has, whom he is, and what we are supposed to reflect ourselves.
Amen. 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 Yeah, everything that we do is a reflection of our faith, our love for God, and really the state of our heart. We must put it in check. Yeah, thank you for that good reflection on that. Whatever is not done in faith is sin. And you see how sin kept changing in definition. The higher you go, the harder things become. And that's because the road becomes narrower and narrower. But that is also God's expression of love for us, because he wants us to go up higher. He sets the standards higher and higher and higher, and because he's calling us to a greater glory. He's calling us to a greater glory. Yamin, any reflections on your side?
Well, you just told me one sentence, but whenever God testing you,
yeah,
that something better is preparing for you, God.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, no, it's true. God really tests us. That's why it says, consider it pure joy when you face trials and temptations of many kinds, for the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So what we know and we learn is that every trial is working out righteousness and peace. It's working out maturity in us, and God really uses people who have been tested. So I think that's a blessing to reflect on that. And I think I see our time, we've got a few minutes, we can just give thanks to God. If there's any special requests, you can mention it, and then we can commit it to God in prayer. And I'll ask my brother Geoffrey to close for us today. Yeah, so any special requests? You can pray for Yemen, you can say your request.
Yeah, it's normal thing.